The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
In our studio, our makeshift studio in the Castle Martyr Resort, Michelle Russell, who's a marketing manager with Spike Island Tours. David Byrne is director of the Middleton Campus. You all know Middleton Whiskey well, the distillery. And Linda McSweeney, head of education at Photo Wildlife Park. You're all very, very welcome. Thanks a million for joining us. I mean, Michelle, we might start with you because we're in East Cork and I guess West Cork maybe gets a lot of the attention, doesn't it? Soaks up all the oxygen in the room, those bloody West Cork people. There's a huge amount on offer here. I mean, we were only up in Ballymaloe a few weeks ago at the show. I was down in Ballycotton earlier today. Beautiful part of the world.
There is. I mean, West Cork is beautiful and has benefited.
That's usually overrated. You can say it.
Has benefited usually, I suppose, from the Wild Atlantic Way brand. Here in East Cork, we're under the Ireland's Ancient East brand, which does focus really on the experiences, the heritage and the storytelling. And yeah, I suppose you're right. East Cork is a little bit underrated. You find a lot of hidden gems here. So I suppose, for me, Spike Island, one of, I suppose, the leading visitor attractions in the country.
Yeah.
A real kind of sense of history there. There's 1,300 years of history. I suppose for the majority of Ireland, it's best known as having been a prison. I think we were all threatened with it at one point or other. But there's a huge history there, you know, a military history. But it's also, a great day out, you know, for a family, for a couple. And our departure point is Cove, which I think is a real vibrant kind of destination town. You know, you'll see a lot of the time images promoting Cork have the image of the colourful deck of cards houses. So I think it is a real kind of destination and bucket list town.
And busy, really busy at this time of year,
I would take it. Yeah.
School tour season.
Definitely school tour season, and I suppose liner season as well for Cove. So we do get a lot of those visitors.
Okay. So a lot of overseas visitors coming in on those liners.
On the liners, yeah. Yeah, definitely, which is great to see.
And can I ask, out of curiosity, what aspect of the history of Spike Island are those overseas visitors most interested in? Is it more the kind of monastic, the further back you go? Is it the 18th century kind of fortifications? Is it the prison?
It's a bit of everything, I think. There's so many layers to it. I mean, as you say, began its life as a monastery, which I think the majority of people aren't aware of, and then later became a military fortress. And that was the beginning of its real story. Was then, I suppose, one of the largest prisons in the world during the Victorian era. And at one point, it held over 2,000 prisoners. That's the scale of it, you know, very much overcrowding, but... And I suppose there is that interest in the dark history. You know, people are kind of interested in...
people love that. The more gruesome the tour, the better. Absolutely. Especially those school kids at the moment.
Yes,
the bloodier
you
can make it, the better. Linda, you're probably busy as well with the exact same thing.
We are, absolutely. This is obviously the peak season for us at the moment. I think it would, as an outdoor venue... If we're not busy at this stage, then it's cause for concern. So we're fully booked out with primary school tours. We're 20% ahead of this time last year, thankfully. So we're on target to teach in excess of 20,000 students this year. Visitor-wise, we're on budget, so to speak. Obviously, going forward, we're very, very dependent on the weather conditions coming into July and August. I think if we were to go by the assumptions as to how poor it's going to be in the UK, it might be of major concern to those of us, the management team of Photo Wildlife Park. But I think strategically we have what is our 2030 vision, and to safeguard the park and to ensure that we can sustain our growth going forward, we've invested in quite a lot of indoor viewing areas.
Okay.
And that has made a significant
difference. So explain that, how that works. Now, I haven't been down the park since I think it was pre-COVID, actually.
Okay, so we've had major probably changes in the interim letter. We said you'll have to come and visit while you're here.
Okay.
So I suppose what we've done is quite a lot of what we would have called the antiquated animal enclosures that dated back to 1983 when the wildlife park was originally established. They've now been replaced. It allows a greater level of visitor interaction and probably a greater level of appreciation for the biodiversity we have in sight. I think it acts as a very positive stimulant to the species that we hold in captivity in Fota. Certainly the primates their behaviour seems to benefit hugely from the direct sort of, I suppose, exposure to visitors, the up-close experiences with them, let it be said. And I suppose only in the last few months we've actually unveiled our most recent development. It's the single biggest investment that Fota Wildlife Park has ever made in relation to infrastructural developments, and that's our new Education, Conservation and Research Centre.
Okay.
At a cost of just over 5.5 million. So it's a substantial investment from summer on our behalf.
Post-COVID, has the makeup of the visitor changed? You know, the kind of the percentages of people, where they come from?
I don't think so, let me say it. I think perhaps during COVID, people were pretty restricted as to how far they could travel anyway. Certainly from the analysis that we've carried out over the last 20 to 30 years, the vast majority of visitors tend to come from the Munster area. We are slowly but surely getting more Dubs, let it be said. We are getting into the Leinster area.
And you let them in?
We do occasionally, yeah. Let it be said. There is a limit as to
and
how many we'll actually accommodate. And then we encourage you to go back.
They're in some of these lovely captivities.
I suppose what we encourage you to do is come, be enthralled, obviously, by what is Ireland's wildest attraction, and then ensure that you impart your finance to us during the course of your visit, and then head back right up the motorway back to Dublin.
So, David, at Middleton, you've dried out eventually, have you, from the floods in September? You got back. You were closed for quite a few months, though, weren't you?
Yeah, post flood, we were closed for almost 6 months.
Wow.
We got back open on the 8th of March. So delighted to be back in business.
Yeah. And busy this time of year as well.
Yeah, again, peak season, as the ladies were just saying, peak season for us too. Probably hoping to welcome approximately 800 or 900 visitors per day.
And where are your visitors coming from?
So primarily our top five would be USA, France, Germany, Britain, and Ireland.
Okay.
So we've seen a good surge in USA, and Britain is very strong as well. And then, of course, France and Germany would always have been good for us.
And Middleton, I guess, look, it's kind of it's a very well-known brand, and it has kind of stood the test of time. We do have this huge wave that people are riding, this Irish whiskey wave. Have you seen that impact at Middleton?
Absolutely. We've been a fundamental part and player in that growth, and wonderful growth it is. So if you think about whiskey, in 2022, whiskey exports from Ireland were in the region of 15 million cases, which is really, really wonderful. We're very positive about the future, and we see great growth there. So Middleton Distillery Experience brings together all our whiskey brands on the old site, a site that was first established in 1825. And we welcome visitors in and give them the opportunity to experience our whiskies, to learn about our whiskies, to see them up close and personal. And it's a terrific day out for families, for friends, for everybody.
That word experience as well, I that's kind of central now, isn't it, to these offerings, is the idea that people like to spend money not so much on things, but on the experience.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's definitely been a change where people maybe are placing less emphasis on possessions and acquiring possessions, and are more willing to spend money on experiences. So they want to have fun. They enter our front door and say, here's 20 euro, here's 50 euro. I'm going to give you 2 hours of my time. I want to be entertained. I want to have some fun. I want to learn, and I want to experience something. And I want to take stories away to share with my family and friends.
And I guess kind of the greater the name that builds for itself, the more it becomes kind of a part of the business, as opposed to really just an element of advertising, really, for selling the product.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess you could say that the two visitor centres which we operate, one here in Middleton and one in Dublin City, probably initially, were set up as marketing entities to bring people close to the brand, and hopefully that they would adopt the brand and enjoy it. However, now it's a business in its own right, I guess. And our two visitor centres, or brand homes as we call them, are immensely proud of them.
Michelle, when it comes to kind of marketing East Cork, because again, to kind of come back to that point, like what they do very well in West Cork is that you've got this kind of buy-in from all of the different tourist offerings, that it's kind of a unified brand to a degree. I mean, what's that picture like in this part of the county in terms of how well people work together, to offer maybe a kind of a joint package?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we won't get very far without working together. It is that kind of industry. And we do work very closely, with accommodation partners, with the other visitor attractions, so the Titanic Experience, the Heritage Centre in Cove, Photo Wildlife as well. So it does. And I think, that's the thing with the tourism industry, is everyone kind of complements each other. And I think we're all working for the same goal. So, if it's good for one business in this industry, then it's good for everyone else. It's bringing visitors into the region,
And being part of the Ireland's Ancient East, rather, I mean, look, the Wild Atlantic Way has been kind of the real runaway success.
Yeah.
And Ireland's Ancient East has had its successes as well. But are there ways it could be refined that kind of might boost numbers, do you feel?
I think there's definitely, you know, it is definitely shining more of a light on East Cork and on that region. And I think there's still work being done. You know, Fáilte Ireland are doing huge amounts of work, particularly kind of with a focus on Cork Harbour, which does really benefit us as well. We're really in the heart of it. So there is a lot of plans in place there to up that. And I think as well, tourism, a lot of people, they do like to be out on the water. They don't might not get the opportunity. Mm-hmm. So I think obviously we're only accessible by boat. So that is part of the experience that people really enjoy from our side, yeah.
Yeah, well, listen, it's an incredible asset to have the coastline,
the
beautiful coastline in this part of the world. Linda, are Fáilte Ireland doing enough? Could they do more? Are you happy with kind of the way they market this part of the country?
It's provided us with massive progression in terms of market penetration. I think it's really got us out there to the international markets as well. Certainly from our own perspective, we've seen a substantial increase in the number of international visitors coming. And I think Michelle mentioned the whole idea of the synergy that exists between, you know, the collaboration synergy that exists between each and every one of us in the East Cork area. And I think we have a very positive relationship with each individual here at the table, to the best of my knowledge. But I think the big thing is that even the Port of Cork is so, so important to us from the point of view of the support it provides to the wildlife park. But also just, I suppose, in the last few months, we've noticed that there are 116 different cruise liners berthing in the Port of Cork over the next few months. It attracted 180,000 visitors alone last year. This year, it's a marked increase of over 23%. So there's a substantial growth happening there. And probably for the first time ever, we've actually seen a spin-off, a substantial spin-off in the liners coming into Cove, whereby we have quite a lot of American tourists that are availing of behind-the-scenes tours in the wildlife park. We've had one American tour company that have actually block-booked almost 14 or 15 dates over the coming weeks. So that for us is substantial income. Let it be said, it's a new market and something that actually they're committed to progressing, that obviously we're more than happy to actually accommodate as well.
David, when we mentioned the kind of rapidly increasing scale of whisky sales, Irish whisky sales around the world, why is that?
Well, at one point in time, Irish whisky was the biggest selling whisky around the world. You know, whisky is now led by Scotch. However, Irish whisky, you know, our focus on quality is so, so important. And the whisky coming out of Middleton Distillery, and in fact coming out of lots of the distilleries in Ireland, is of really, really excellent high quality. Triple distilled, the finest ingredients, excellent water. And our focus all the time is on producing a super high quality product, so that when people have Irish whisky in their glass, they're appreciating the taste, they're appreciating the quality. And then they're telling their friends about it, and then the category grows. So it's a wonderful product.
Well, listen, it's a great answer, and I'm glad I didn't mention Conor McGregor. Anyway, David Byrne of the Middleton Whisky Campus, director there, Michelle Russell, marketing manager at Spike Island Tours, and Linda McSweeney, head of education at Fáilte Wildlife Park. Folks, thanks a million, everybody, for coming in and joining us here.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.